This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Hey, while we're waiting for that guy to get here, how about telling us about, Uncle Frank in Star Trek?
Am I allowed to do that?
You certainly are.
Take your talk about whatever you want.
He told you it was cool. Am I going to get sued?
Not at all.
Cool.
I play Captain Kirk's alcoholic, abusive uncle when he's a kid. And I treat him very badly, which forces him to go off and do what he does.
Did that inspire him to pause so awkwardly whenever he talks?
That's what Sam was. No, I think that he doesn't do that now for some reason. But it was fun. It was fun to play such a asshole, you know, such a bad character.
I heard that Chris flubs his lines a lot. Fine. And did you have
no, because I just had to. I was with the little kid.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I was with him when he was little.
Oh, were you a Star Trek fan?
Yes.
Okay. Whoa. All right. How's JJ?
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Really nice guy, and really, you know, I got the script, and first of all, the script was. I was offered the role, so I never saw the script, and then it was about 3 days before I was supposed to shoot, and I still hadn't gotten my scenes, and they said, well, they're giving some people just the scenes when they get there, and I said, well, I'm not that type of actor, so
if you, right in.
Okay, so if you want it to be kind of good, you should give it to me now. So they had to, you know, messenger it over, and then I got to work on it, but it had, you know, each line, you know, like some words were underlined, so it was kind of telling you exactly how to say it. So I was like, oh, shit, like, this is exactly how I'm supposed to do it, you know? Which, again, that's not one of my fortes either. And so I got there, and he's like, just do whatever you want to do it, and let's just play with it. And we just shot these scenes, you know, because they had the money, we would shoot one scene, you know, all day long from all these different angles, and he was so positive, and he was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, he was awesome. He was such a nice guy and so into it, running around, just really into it. He was neat.
This is a character we haven't even heard of before this version of Star Trek, right?
Right, I think so.
So yeah. How cool is that easier for you to have a brand new character than something we all know?
So much easier. Yeah, I wouldn't have wanted to do the other probably.
On to Choke. Yeah. Sorry, guys, I'm not a... Make you tricky, but playing Denny,
yeah.
Which, and I've seen Chuck on several book reviews. He always gets asked questions about Denny, the rocks, and masturbation.
Uh-huh.
So tackling that, of course, you know, I'm not going to ask you because he tells a story about the first time he masturbated. He thought he was going to like save the planet, and he was going to be rich, and his family was going to make money, and he was going to sell out Madison Square Garden.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to ask you if you had the same experience, but getting ready to play Denny and the rocks and the masturbation and knowing, I don't know if you knew a lot about Choke or Chuck, but you're playing one of his most beloved characters. I was wondering, you know, back to preparation, how daunting was that? Was it hard? Did you not even really worry about it until after it was over? Or,
you know, I just read the script. I had a meeting with Clark. I read the script, and I was thought, this is an awesome character. You know, I had never... read the book before.
I might stand. I get my back's a little
fucked up. Sure. You know, I guess at that point, we didn't know it was. I don't know if Sam knew, but I didn't know it was his most popular book. You know,
well,
what I mean?
You did. So you didn't read Choke?
No, I did read it after I got the job, and I read the book, and I just, you know, tried to become this person. You know, the only thing I couldn't do is shave my head because I had, you know, another job going on kind of at the same time, and also because it's a short shoot schedule, we had to do scenes that took place at different times. You know, the same day, but I didn't feel any pressure. I just felt my own need to become this person.
And now that it's over, you realize that like millions and millions of ravenous Chuck fans everywhere are going to...
I guess I don't realize
that. I didn't realize that was his most popular book.
No, I said Denny is one of the most popular characters.
Oh,
I've seen him do a few book tours, and people always ask about Denny and the masturbation.
Yeah.
Well, I think Denny is very popular because I think that he's very relatable. You know, I think he's just a normal guy, and, you know, trying to get love.
And he saves, yeah, and then back, and then you playing Victor, which, you know, you probably knew Choke was pretty big, and Victor was a really popular character. And how do you, like, you get into your part so well when you go to do the sex addict character?
Yeah.
I don't want to say what kind of research did you do, but
yeah. No, we actually, we did. We both went to a few meetings. I went to 5 or 6 meetings or something.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing about doing research. You go to the meeting and you find out more about what it's going. You don't have to go have sex with 5 prostitutes.
Yeah,
But I mean, you just get to where you can relate to why. You know, you go to those meetings and it's not fun. It's very sad and it's very serious, and it's, you see that it's people that have been damaged that are searching for love or searching for something, you know. And so I think that's what we found out.
Now, did you guys know each other before shooting? Because
no,
I mean, the relationship was really natural, and I really related to your character. He was such a mellow guy, like you said, people can relate to him.
Yeah.
So how did that chemistry build? 28 days.
We built it before we started, I think, but I think it was also lucky because the first rehearsal we had, we got along great and felt good acting.
Yeah. I mean, Clark was really smart about the casting process, and Mary Verneau, you know, who cast Bad Santa and some Mike Judge movies, I mean, she's a great casting director. So, you know, I mean, when you're casting a movie, you got an actor director. He's going to be really, Clark's very smart about casting. Not unlike, you know, George Clooney is good with you know, finding, you know, when an actor casts, he's looking at it from, who do I want to act with? You know, and I want to act with somebody who has training, who has experience, you can tell actors have a vocabulary with each other, and they, okay, just like I would think writers do too. It's like, you know, okay, this person's the real deal, and so it's not, you know, it's no coincidence. It's Clark's looking for the best people for the job, and so he finds Brad and Kelly, and you know, it's like,
yeah, and we were into it, you know.
Yeah.
We showed up for this rehearsal, which was I don't know how long before, and we're like, let's go, let's play today,
you know.
And I think that you know, we had that attitude the whole time. It was great that we both had that attitude, because we just get together and rehearse, and when we're shooting, we just, let's go with it, you know? And I think that once we trusted each other, then whatever you do in the scene, it's just the guy doing it, so then I react to what he's doing. I know how I feel about him, and so...
Well, we're all really serious about acting, I think, and we've done the same kind of training, and so it's a work aesthetic, I guess, I think, too, with me and Brad, too.
Yeah. But we had the same thing with Angelica, the first day we rehearsed.
Jesus, she's great.
Yeah. The scene that we did, you know, where I go over there and she thinks that I'm him and stuff like that? You know the line when we go, I go, Victor, please, get out of here. When I say that to him, that wasn't in the script, but we did that the first day. The first day we rehearsed, okay? She and I do that scene. We're doing that scene. She grabs my face, and it makes me get tears in my eyes. And he's like there, and I'm saying, get the fuck out of here, whatever. And then, you know, that made it in the script, because we all just came into it.
Yeah, it's a great scene, because it shows how much Victor really does love his mom, but that stays, you know, it's kept away from her. It's one of the questions I asked her was, the movie is a lot about mothers and sons, and, you know, the maternal connection early on can actually trigger your deviant behavior later on in life. And just playing Victor, that had to be, you know, it had to be tough. And do you pull up any of your own things within, you know, your own family? Or, you know, how do you tackle such a multi-layered character like Victor Mancini?
I think, you know, you do maybe a little research, and we watch the documentary, and then you read the book. And then I have my own references. You know, Clark and I talked about Harold and Maude as a tone, and the Fisher King was talked about, and then... You know, I think of other things. I go to my acting coach, and we work on the material, and you know, you reference things like the mother and son. Oh, hey, thanks. Like the glass menagerie, or Hamlet even, you know, it's got like, so you kind of, I'm always looking at like, and then I'm always constantly referring to like my 1970s cinematic encyclopedia, which is like movies like Five Easy Pieces or Harold and Maude, where you have anti-heroes, or Tom Jones with Albert Finney and Alfie. So you have these anti-heroes. You have these a Casanova or somebody who's just... Five Easy Pieces is a real template for this guy, I think.
Did any of that research include Colonial Williamsburg? That's a really funny.
You know something? I really had time to get into that. We saw some pictures, I think.
You put the outfit on.
That's all you kind of need. That's all you really need.
Yeah.
And then you have Clark playing it so intently and straight, getting it
right, Charlie. Yeah,
that was great. That was huge. Yeah.
Now, did they actually pull out the actual outfits that these, you know, recreation places wear, or was it modern costuming just made to look?
No, they took pictures of, there's places like that in the United States right now, and they just took pictures of them and they made those. Yeah.
I didn't know if they did it complete with the buttons and the very strange fastenings and things like that.
I think it was pretty
authentic.
I think so, yeah.
I was going to say, Sam, I've read an interview with you where you had said that you felt you found it more intense, sort of the scenes alone. With the kissing scene sort of alone, as opposed to sort of the more, you know, raucous.
Oh yeah, yeah, I think that's true. Well, you know, the sex scenes are fake. You know, you're not really having sex when you're kissing. You're really kissing. So that kind of, I think that kind of says it all. You know, it's like sex scenes are just kind of silly. You know, they're like,
well, centralized. Yeah.
Go ahead. I wanted to hear what you had to say.
No, I mean, that's it. I mean, it's just, you know, you got these women coming in for a day. You just want to make them feel comfortable. It's a weird job. And so you try to tell a joke and keep it relaxed. And
what about choking?
Choking?
Did you actually ever come close to choking?
No, I...
Yeah, dude, calm down.
It's like, you know, hold your breath for a little bit and make your face red, and it's just like, you know, pretend.
So you were in no danger?
I don't think so, no. I don't think so. It was, you know, it's probably not the healthiest thing to stop yourself from breathing for a couple of seconds, but...
Yeah. Well, my character knew he was faking, so I was...
Yeah, there you go.
I wasn't
exactly,
really worried about
it.
Well, you got 7 minutes before brain death sets in. So
yeah.
You got 7 minutes of no oxygen before brain death sets in.
Yeah, that's right.
They could have revived him.
Let me ask where you guys are from and what got you into it. You know, what got you into acting?
What got me into acting is, I think, just kind of being a lost soul, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And liking the idea of becoming other people, and liking the idea of touching emotional things in my body that I don't in real life. I mean, that's probably it. I like to... he likes to refer to films, he's like an encyclopedia, which is awesome. And I just kind of like to think more about, I guess, escaping my life and being something else, or again, like feeling something that I don't let myself feel in real life. You kind of get it out of your system.
Well,
you know, so now I have a sex addict out of my system.
Sam, oh, I wanted to ask you. I was reading about this project called Moon, and it sounds.
Oh yeah,
it just sounds really effing cool.
It's cool. It's like a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about like what the movie's about? Who you play?
Well, it's about a guy stranded on the moon for 3 years, like a Robinson Crusoe kind of guy, and he's mining a product called helium-3 from the surface of the moon for fuel for the Earth and energy source, and then he meets his clone, and they have to sort of deal with each other. And that's kind of what... So it's sort of an homage to Silent Running and a little Blade Runner. And as far as the replicants and stuff, it's like that. But it's a very simple kind of Robinson Crusoe story. You know, it's just a guy pretty much stranded.
Is it a studio film? Is it going to Sundance?
You know, maybe it'll go to Sundance. I would be great if it went there. probably try to do the festival circuit. It's a small film, you know, with some pretty impressive production design for the budget, and special effects, I might add, that were pretty tricky, you know, as far as cloning one actor, you know, obviously it's some in-camera effects that are pretty and the stop motion stuff, which is what you do for any movie where you have twins, or you know, like Adaptation with Nicolas Cage, or Dead Ringers with Jeremy Irons. We were doing the same effect, but for a significantly lower budget. So
how did you do it?
Well, I mean, you know, we could take up the whole. You know, it's pretty. But basically, I had an earwig, and I would do my take. And there was a guy named Robin Chalk who was a sort of a body double slash actor, and he looked like me from the back of the head. We were the same body type and size, and Robin would read the lines, and then I would switch places. It's funny, when we would rehearse in the morning, you know, rehearse a scene, I'd have to, you know, you block it through, and then the AD would say, all right, go do makeup. And I'd say, hey, man, I got to do the other clone. You know, he's like, oh, well, we just blocked it. No, I know, but I got to do the other guy.
Yeah.
Or I'm not going to know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And so then I would have to switch places with Rob and block out the scene as the other clone.
And he would do the, you,
and
yeah.
He would do the other one. Yeah. And so it was like algebra. You know, it was the most heady thing I've ever done. Technically, challenge. I mean, it's the most incredible technical challenge. And then I'd do my take, and then I'd switched clones, and they'd do makeup because one of the clones was getting sick. And they put an earwig in my ear, and I told you this is going to take forever. You asked for it. And you'd hear the take from the previous take that I'd... So I'm literally acting with myself, and the sound guy's feeding me the previous take of the other clone. So I'm hearing my own voice, and I'm ad-libbing with myself.
That must have been hard because you're a very just... reacting actor.
I'll tell you, man. To make it like real. You're talking about ad libs and shit. Yeah.
Also, though, he is very, you know, what you do to him, he'll just react to it. You know, so that must have been.
No, it was.
Yeah.
It was. But if you're a control freak, it's actually kind of worth it.
Sam, you know, with such a really well thought out body of work, I mean, every film you do is very, very interesting.
Thanks.
What goes into your choices? And and second part of that question, I'm really curious: is there anybody that you haven't worked with that you want to?
Jeff Bridges, Meryl Streep, Morgan Freeman. I don't know, people like that.
And what goes into your choices?
Oh, just, you know, stuff, if the character, I think, moves you. I think that's what it really comes down to. You know, if you identify and you're moved by the character. It's just, if it's fun if you think it's going to be fun to wake up at 5 in the morning and do that, you know, then you take the job, you know.
I under wanted you to talk about Galaxy Quest as well, which is very popular with the readers.
I'm just going to stand up. Yeah, that's it. Well, you know, I love that movie. That's a great movie. Almost didn't do that movie, actually. Yeah.
So, why not?
I was supposed to do an independent film, do a lead in an independent film, and it didn't. It's so.
Why don't I lift you up?
That'd probably make it worse. I did some yoga. I did some yoga. I think I just. It's just a knee. This is a little sore. But.
Well, that goes.
Look at that microphone. Galaxy Quest was just, you know, it was just a great script. It was a fluke. And then, you know, at the time it came out, we thought it was going to be like Ghostbusters, and then it didn't do well at the box office. But then it caught on later, and it has this sort of cult following, the movie. And we all thought it was the bee's knees at the time, but then nobody saw the movie at the get-go. But then when it got this, it was really cool when it got like a little bit of a following.
Yeah, they touching on Galaxy Quest, just like the way you played your character in that movie was actually what stands out to me the most. You're like, I'm gonna die, I don't even have a name, and so you put that much in every character.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Question I asked
actually stole my whole performance from Bill Paxton in Aliens.
You just won.
No, literally.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Did you tell him?
Yeah. I know, I've never met him, but I would tell him that, yeah.
And with Chuck, it's all about sex. And a question I asked Chuck and Clark was, a lot of theaters, or some of the theaters, are tentative on taking it because they think it's only about sex. And
what?
They're worried about
what's that?
No, there's a couple theaters. There's one in Long Beach my friend is a manager of. They're afraid, the owners are afraid to take Chuck because they don't want to offend their senior.
That's cool. I like that. That's kind of cool.
I mean, we're senior citizens.
That means we did something right.
Yeah. Well, in my
nothing bad happens in Choke.
Yeah.
It's like tame. It's a
love story. It's a love story.
It's a romantic comedy. It's just a couple of you know, breastises, and that's it. I mean,
yeah.
Nothing below the belt.
We show the ass. I show my ass.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
They've seen it. That's the, I mean, everybody's seen it.
When I make love to myself, it's in my pants. You know what I mean? It's like nothing bad happens in that movie. It's a love story.
That movie's so tame compared to the book.
Yeah, it's between
us. Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
Well, let me ask, since you're on the subject, can we ask you about other sci-fi you've done? I mean, what comes to mind about Hitchhiker's Guide, Sam?
Oh, well, you know, another sci-fi comedy. And actually, this Jared Hess movie, Gentleman Broncos, I play like a Buck Rogers Flash Gordon character, and that's another fucking sci-fi comedy. Moon's the only dramatic sci-fi thing I've ever done. So, yeah.
I was actually going to ask you about being in Jared's next film.
Yeah.
And what that was like, and I've heard the script is really, really good.
It's really good. He's amazing. Jared's the guy's a genius. He's only 28 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. Mormon. Crazy. Wow. He's great.
Going back to the sex in the movie,
This movie?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Looking for Mr. Goodbar?
Yeah. I was watching the movie thinking about Pulver Hub, and, you know, probably he would have done this, like, more hardcore sex scenes. And I kind of like missed that in the movie, to tell you the truth. I missed that kind of like approach a bit more in your face. Was that in the movie at some point at the beginning, or in the work? That was not the intention of doing a sexual movie at all in the beginning?
Well, so
I missed basically, like, you know, kind of like, I know it's not a Verhoeven movie, but I wish kind of like there wasn't even more of that.
But then, what would have been rated, and would anyone get to see it? And is that really what it's about? Because it's not, it's about these guys that are sex addicts, but it's about these people that are damaged or searching for love and that type of stuff. It's not just about just the sex. And you know, when you read the book, it's about their lives and what they're thinking. And, you know, my rocks, my girlfriend, his mom, you know, falling in love, you know, it's, and his childhood. It's just like he was saying, you know, we could have been food addicts. You know, he said, he was saying that he learned that sex addiction was like more like a food addiction.
Yeah,
because you binge. You know, you try to hold out, you try to hold out, and then you binge. So
you bottle emotions with that substance. Yeah.
Now your relationship with the nurse.
Yeah.
Now the nurse was really not a nurse, right?
That's right.
I like that.
It's a nice surprise.
Have you
more elaborate in the book, but yeah. That's
what it is. Going into what you were saying, though, have you been into the screenings where you can hear the audience gasp?
I did a couple. Yeah. It was pretty wild. Chicago, there was some college kids. They loved it. It was great. Really cool reactions.
I've seen it a few times now, and
when I read the book, I was like, no way.
Yeah.
Which is like in Fight Club when you find out they're the same person. Oh, I'm so stupid.
I gotta ask, since Sam and you and both of you have two movies that always seem to be on TBS, 13th Floor and Green Mile. Could I get a quote from you about doing Green Mile? And what about 13th?
I wasn't even in that movie. I got cut out of that movie. You know what I remember about that movie is sleeping in my trailer for a week. Yeah. It was like when I first started acting.
That's funny.
Yeah. But I enjoyed that.
Sam, how about Green Mile?
I was sleeping in my trailer waiting for them to get done with the mice. They were always had these mice before CGI. They had some CGI maybe, but I was always waiting for the mice. The mice, you're taking up all the time.
Just to get a little more on the Jared Hess film, is it the same sort of sense of humor we've seen in his other films? And do you have a role in that?
Yeah. Yeah, I play sort of a Buck Rogers, Flash Gordon character. Oh my gosh.
Like Gil Gerard Buck Rogers and the 30s Buck Rogers?
Well, no, it's more
that's
like...
I was talking about. She wanted me to give you guys...
Hillbilly Buck Rogers. Mm-hmm. It's like... it's weird. It's like a cowboy Flash Gordon.
Mm-hmm. That's the theater. It doesn't want to show.
Yeah, the manager of the theater wanted me to give him to.
Hey, man, look at that. Where's the chaps? Where's the thong?
So the Hillbilly Buck Rogers...
This guy did it take the movie or didn't take the movie?
My friend, general manager, is trying to get it. The owner from Orange County is trying not to, so we're going to fuck with him a little bit.
Give us a thumbs up. Come on, please.
We're probably going to get it, so come and see it.
All right.
If you want to see it.
The Jared Hess film?
Yeah, but what did he do as my projects? Type character.
Oh, he's like Bronco. His name's Bronco, and he's like a hillbilly spaceman. It's weird, you know, it's out there.
So what's ahead for you, Brad?
Yeah.
You know, like he was saying, you try to find something that inspires you. I haven't really found that.
Sometimes you just go to work, you know.
You know, no, but it's like the business has been kind of slow. There's less films being shot. And so there's a couple things that there's a script being written for me that is very fun to get the script and then I give some notes, which is crazy. But and that's called Thanksgiving at Denny's.
It seems like you'd be great in comedy.
It seems like it does. So you know, there's a couple things that I'm working on doing here.
How many people have thought you were Abraham Ben Ruby?
Never. No, really. Like I know him. He's a giant. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And Sam, obviously we've talked about some of the projects you've already shot, but what do you have that might be in the horizon for getting ready to shoot?
I'm doing a basketball movie. I was supposed to do one of those drunk histories, but I can't do it now. You know Drunk History? Ever seen that? You ever seen that Drunk History? That's it, basketball movie. That's it. That's pretty much all I'm doing.
Oh, do I get to play the principal?
No, you and I look like. Do we look like we went to high school together? I think they're gonna. Anyway, let's talk.
What is the basketball movie though? Is it a one of these is it one of these true story things or is it a comedy? What's it?
I play a basketball coach to a girls' high school basketball team, and it's kind of your basic sort of Bad News Bears kind of movie. But with a little more of a bite to it, dramatically maybe.
Is it like a fairly like? Is it like a hard R? I mean,
no, it's more like Half Nelson or Affliction, but it's got this. It also has this sort of, you know, sports formula through line, but there's some other stuff going on with him. Yeah, so. That's pretty much it.
And also,
Hoosiers meets Half Nelson, I guess, is the best.
That's fantastic.
It's kind of a weird.
Yeah. Space Jam. Speaking of basketball movies, tell us about your role in Space Jam in Hollywoodland.
That was Space Jam was like I think my first or second or second job, and I had to I never really played baseball, but I was played the catcher, you know, and it was cool because I got to meet Michael Jordan. And that was a thrill. And but the director kept yelling at me all day. Yeah. He was yelling at me. Hey, you know, he's out there and there's this crowd of people. He's like, hey, stand up before you say that line. So I stand up before I say that line. You stupid fucker. Like, he's yelling at me. I said, in this bullhorn in front of all these people. I said, stupid fucker. I said, stand up before you say that line. I look at Michael Jordan. He's like, I don't know, man. So I do it again. He's like, stand up. And finally, I go, I didn't fucking, I stood up before I said the line. He goes, oh, I meant say it before you say it. That was my first look. Yeah, that was my space.
How about Hollywoodland?
Hollywoodland was cool because I feel like I look like I should be from the 50s, and I fit in, you know, just my body and looks, and working with Adrian Brody was great. It was kind of like working with Sam, and he just was super giving and just really fun. It was a fun shoot. It was awesome. I loved it. I loved the director too. That one.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
quick cool. Question for both of you. Do either of you have a favorite character that you've played?
Well, Victor's one of them. There's a couple. Yeah. I like the Green Mile guy. What else? Snow Angels.
I like this character. I like the character from Sherry Baby. It's better than playing like the ones from North Country. You and me and everyone we know, which are very bad people, so I like, you know, playing nicer people once in a while. Because I'm a nice guy, come on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.